Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
Or maybe your kid is actually interacting with something and you're just pushing it off because you're desensitized.
I remember being able to levitate. And I used to call it, in my head, making space under my feet. I felt death leave my body. I felt darkness leave my body. I felt light come in. I'm thrown to the ground, and it feels like something is trying to pull me from underneath. My back was on the floor. Like something was trying to pull me into the concrete. It was actually killing me. I was turning into a monster. Well, I don't want to destroy my destiny with all these mistakes I made.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. If you have not done so yet, go ahead and check out the link in the description for Sasquatch and the Missing Man. That's the world premiere coming up on May 5th. Me and the team went out to Washington to hunt the Bigfoot at Ground Zero, where Wes Germer had his Bigfoot encounter. If you want to see that journey that we went on, you don't want to miss the world premiere. And at the world premiere, you can also get access to the after party where we're going to do a live Q&A. So all that is included in the link in the description below. Go ahead, check it out, see what you want, and I'll see you there on May 5th at the world premiere. All right, today we have Carly coming on. She's a great person to talk to. I know you guys are going to like it for this member episode. Carly is somebody who had some pretty dramatic things happen to her throughout her entire life, her childhood, things that you wouldn't wish a child to have to go through. She went through, she lost her father at 10. There were a lot of things that I think led to her dabbling into the occult and getting into the Ouija board and things that then later brought attachments to her life. And it escalates throughout her life to the point where she's actually going through a violent situation with a demonic entity while she's on the phone with her pastor trying to get it to stop, and it's just not stopping. And he actually makes his way over to her house to physically help her. It was a very dramatic experience. And then her and I branch into a very, I think, heartfelt conversation where we talk just very real talk with each other and the audience gets to hear it. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation with me and Carly right now.
Hey,
All right. Today we have Carly on the show. Carly, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And, you know, Carly, you and I were talking and, I just want to give a proper shout out. I can't let it go. You're wearing a Blurry Creatures shirt and, my first thought was, how dare you? But then I, thought, oh, those guys, they're my friends. Never mind. It's okay. So, listen, Carly, you reached out to us. I don't even know when exactly, but the fact that the day that we're recording this means that it was probably a reschedule at some point. Thank you for being here and thank you for showing up for round two. And I am interested in your story because of how it kind of intertwines, where you lay out the groundwork as to how you kind of came into your faith, but the journey in the process had a lot of paranormal, demonic influence involved. And it's not a story that I think gets told enough, where it's not always from the outside of, let's say, the Christian church that the enemy is, you know? And so I think that it's important to share the awareness of all of that. So I'm going to hand it over to you and let you start it off. I know it starts off in the beginning and it's just hitting me now. Part of your story being that you lost your father when you were 10. And I remember reading that because ever since I became a dad, I've gotten a lot more emotional, and it's also changed me as a human being. I do things not for me and my wife alone anymore. It's for the lineage, and it's shaped how I live my life. It's shaped how I talk to people, the relationships I have, how I do my show. Everything is reflected into generations to come now. And seeing in the email how your father passed, I couldn't help but think that the passing of any parent in a child's life so early will have a ripple effect throughout their life if it's not harnessed, the effects of it harnessed properly early on. And I don't know if that's your story, but I do think that it's important off the jump to magnify the roles of parents in children's lives and how that can in itself prevent the paranormal attacks that come in children's lives. A lot of times parents get desensitized throughout life and the kids will come running in a room and say, I saw a monster and it scared me. And you say, go back to bed. It's your imagination. It's not real. It's just a dream. But the reality is, it is real. And if maybe it is a kid over imagination, or maybe your kid is actually interacting with something and you're just pushing it off because you're desensitized.
And another thing though, Tony, is that why do we disqualify imaginations as being frivolous and of no substance?
Right.
Right? Because if a child is imagining something horrific, that needs to be questioned, even if it is just imagination. Like the Bible talks about how the imagination of the heart, that means there's something going on in the heart of that child that should be addressed. Mm-hmm. So I think it's short-sighted to be like, oh, my kid's just imagining things. But why would they imagine something so dark, right?
Yeah.
There's a place of exploration there. So sorry to cut you off.
No, I agree with you. And I think that it's very important as active parents in our children's lives that we're there and we're active. And so when a child has no option and the parents had no option and that person is no longer in the picture, like the remaining people, if they're not focused on harnessing the ripple effect of that, it could really go wrong for somebody. And
that's right.
And so with that little, whatever that was, I'll hand it over to you. Brighten the mood, because I just made it dark and gloomy in here.
No, you didn't. It's good. You're right. And I'm glad that you're looking at life now from the perspective of what can I give to my children? I think that's really important and biblically based.
Mm.
So
I'm based.
And you are based. Yes, that's also true. But it says that, hey, I'm living for more than me. And that's really the Christian walk, right?
Yeah.
So cheers to that. And so I'll just start around the age of 18 months was my first memory of life. I didn't realize that until I told my mom this story much later in life. And I told her, yeah, mom, I remember I was sitting on the bed, your bed, and there was some pennies and some raisins. And I'm sitting there and I'm like sucking on the pennies, putting them out of my mouth, putting raisins in my mouth, trying to fit the penny in my nose, put the raisin in my nose. It got stuck. So I started screaming. And my mom comes rushing in the room. She's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she's trying to figure it out. And I'm like, you know, doing this nose pointing thing. And then I see the real panic happen on her face, right? And so she's coming to like grab me or whatever. And I go, huh, and I blow it out of my nose. So that was where my life started. Getting a raisin stuck up my nose. And I feel like that really set the tone for the rest of the story.
Drama.
Drama. Unnecessary drama. Self-inflicted drama. Because no one came along and shoved that raisin up my nose. I did that to myself. So going forward, my parents divorced when I was about 4 years old. And my parents were young. So I grew up in Superior, Wisconsin. And my parents didn't have a car. They had bikes and an airplane. So I don't know if y'all have ever experienced northern Wisconsin winters, but they're not something you want to face outdoors, really. So we would bike or we would fly places, right? And unfortunately, my father was making bad life choices that put his family in harm's way. And so my mom separated from him, ultimately divorced and married somebody else. And my stepfather was really mentally unstable, emotionally unstable, emotionally, physically abusive to my mom and emotionally to the rest of us. So it made it really hard because I lived with my mom and I got to visit my dad. So there was a lot of instability there. And I think no matter how well you face divorce, it's traumatizing to children. And I think that in my experience, that trauma creates fractures in the soul that the enemy capitalizes on. And to live in two separate households causes a mild form of dissociation, really, because you have to be one person with mom and dad and one person with dad and one person when you go to the in-laws' house and somebody, because they're not all the same. It's not familiar. It's not stable. And so my paranormal experiences started around the age of 4 or 5. I can't say I was looking at, you know, the clock and taking mental notes of exactly the year, but it's about 1985, I think, based on where I was living. And I can always remember seeing the energetic field of natural matter. So it was like I could look at a flower and I would see this almost colorful mist coming off of things. And to me, it didn't seem weird because, hello, I'm just ever only lived inside myself, right? Children think everything is normal, bless their hearts.
Yeah.
So I would see these things and I wouldn't think much of it, but I thought it was pretty. I thought it was amazing. I'd see it in people. Some people looked yellow, some people purple, some people mixed colors. I can remember seeing people and then there'd be these dark spots. And that lasted well into my 20s. And I learned over time that that was indicative of a wound, either a physical illness or a soul wound. And in that same age bracket, I can remember, this sounds so weird, maybe not to somebody out there, bless your heart, thank you so much.
You are on the confessionals, mind you.
I know, but I know now why people say that, because it's like, oh, I'm going to say something strange. But I remember being able to levitate. And I used to call it, in my head, making space under my feet. I don't remember where I learned this. I don't know why I would do it. I could do it outside. I could do it inside. But I couldn't do it if someone else was around. I remember trying to show a little friend at one point, like, look what I can do. Can you do that? Because, of course, I thought everyone could do it, right? No. And I remember being able to go like that. I know some people aren't watching this, but like making space in my fingers and being able to watch like lightning bolts go in between my fingers, almost like static electricity. And so the weird stuff started early. And I never talked about it. Like how we talked about children going to their parents and saying, oh, there's strange things happening. I didn't talk about it. It just didn't bar a conversation, I guess. And so living in this family dynamic and having these paranormal experiences and thinking it was normal until I got older, it never allowed me to be able to think that the supernatural wasn't real. Like some people can pretend, forgive me for being so harsh, but some people pretend like all there is to life is what you can see. And that's a very cozy place to be, I guess, but it's just not the reality of things. And I've never had that luxury of thinking that what I see is only what is. Because, well, for example, one of the places I was a lot as a young child was my grandparents' farm in north central Wisconsin by the Chequamegon National Forest. And this place was haunted. Yeah. I mean, even my grandma had the priest come in and try to bless it like a good Catholic, but to no effect. And she would call them pukas, so poltergeist activity, things moving, doors shutting, you put something down one place, it's not there anymore, creaking in the house that doesn't make sense. My brother, shortly after my grandfather died, my namesake, Grandpa Carl, my brother was about 6 years old, so he saw my Grandpa Carl standing at the top of the stairs and was like, Grandpa Carl's here! And everyone's like, what? You know, and it was just like that. And that house, I can remember at night, my grandma telling us to shut the windows because it always felt like someone was watching us through the windows at night. And we would often play Mexican Train, you know, with dominoes, if you've ever heard that game.
Yeah.
So we would play that, but we would always have to shut the windows because it really did feel like someone was watching us. And fast forward the night that my grandma, well, let me back up. So I was sleeping there one night and there was one room that I would never sleep in because it felt cold all the time. It doesn't matter if it's 90 degrees outside and the sun is coming in the window. It was always cold. And in this old farmhouse, there were rooms inside rooms. So you would go in the bedroom and then take a left. There'd be a door and another bedroom, right? Instead of everybody having their own door. And so inside that door was the nursery, which had to be the darkest place I have ever been. I don't know what happened in there. I don't have any family stories about something going wrong. But then inside the closet was another little door where my grandma there was another little door you had to go in, like a child, like 4-year-olds could walk through it, but an adult had to crouch down. And inside that door, my grandma made this entire elaborate Alice in Wonderland landscape. The whole thing, like when Alice drank the drink and got small and started falling, that was the scene. And I always thought that was weird because of what I know now about programming and Alice in Wonderland programming, government-sponsored mind control projects, how they use Disney to program the mind of children. And it could have been nothing, admittedly. But why all these things? Why the weird energy in the house? Why every time I'm there, I'm having horrible nightmares? I can't sleep in this one room. I was sleeping in that one room one time by note. I didn't have a choice. And so that night, I woke up and I could hear feet walking around the bed. But there's a light coming through from outside because farms often have those big lights outside that kind of flood the whole area. So it's not like it was pitch black. And I'm hearing this thing walk around the room and I cover my head. I'm probably a teenager at this point. I'm like, oh, that's scary, right? And it was like, you know how when someone's in the room with you, you can feel kind of where they are. And so I could feel it go from one and hear it go from one side of the bed to another. And I cover my head and I'm freaked out. And then I peek out and I see this shadow man, well, what we know now is the shadow man or whatever, standing in the corner, like looming over me. I'm like, this is why I don't sleep in this room.
Seriously.
Like, what the heck? And the strangest thing, Tony, is that half of my family would only sleep in that room. And the other half of my mom's siblings would not. So it was like, why this half was cool with the shadow man looking up their nostrils in the middle of the night? And why the other half was like, nah, homie, that's not it. That's not it for me. And so it was all just very strange. But again, it lended more and more into this. There's more going on in life than what I can see.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.